I pray that that is our desire to know the Lord more. Remember when Pastor comes back to thank him tell him you're glad he's back, because we don't preach as good as well as he does, but we try our best. We do miss him behind the pulpit here. Our church, I want you guys to understand, I want all of us to understand the importance a pastor is to the church. The importance a pastor is to your family. Sometimes we take our pastor for granted, especially when we, and I'm not preaching here, I'm just sharing a little bit here, especially when we have a pastor he's been here for a long time, and he was just the assistant pastor, and most of you have known him for a long time. Most of you, his family has helped you, either him, his wife, and then we see his flaws because he hasn't been the senior pastor for a long time. The Bible says sometimes we don't, a prophet is not appreciated, and I'm not quoting it right, forgive me for that, in his own town. And I hope you are thankful for, number one, for Pastor. Amen. Number two, I hope and I pray that you are praying for him and his family. Be like the men that held Moses' hands up, and do our best to hold his hands up. So cheer him on. Keep going. We need to get something done here for the Lord. Our church is not great because of the pastor. Number one, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He builds his church. But the church is not the pastor. We have to understand the church is not the building. The church is the people. And the quality of people that you are represent our church and our pastor. And I hope you don't take that lightly. Our church is well spoken of around the country. And I hope that you do your best to pray for our pastor and thank him and be grateful for him during his birthday. Give him something. We have technology now. Blast him with some text messages. And Pastor, thank you for preaching. If he has a good message God has given us and the Lord speaks to you through the message that he has given you, jot him a letter. A text message is good. Sometimes go to the old-fashioned, pen and paper and jot it down and put it in, email him or do what you got to do, but let him know that you appreciate him, and I know you do. Thank you so much. Remember his birthday, anniversary, remember all these things. It is not easy to get us into this building, and he's doing that right now. He's taking the mantle from Pastor Esposito, if you will, and getting us in that building. Boy, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I go in there, and sometimes I'm just overwhelmed with joy, and I'm relieved that we're getting somewhere. There were so many years and so many times, and if you've been here for a long time, you understand that the ditches that we dug for the foundation, we had to dig it many times. Because every time we dug it, the Lord causes it to rain, and it fills up. And God was teaching us character, and some of us were overweight, so he wanted us to work out a little bit and to do that. But those are days that we will never forget. Won't forget all those times, the jokes that were played in there. I remember one time one of the construction guys told that there was a big puddle because it rained, and we had dug a big hole, and one of the guys told him to go get something and walk across a puddle, and they walked in, and they fell right in, all wet, and that's why we didn't get a lot of work done, because they were doing pranks and things of that nature. But I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to the preaching that's going to be in there, looking forward to people to get baptized in there, looking forward to young people being called to preach. Amen. Young people sent out from our church. Young people going out to help Brother Tongdi and help Brother Board and help in Thailand. And maybe not one of our teams, but like a Brother Luis, go back to his own country and help out there. I don't know what God has planned, but I am excited to see what God is going to do. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Went to Costco today, nothing was left. I just wanted water for my office. And I couldn't get any water, so I bought soda. No, didn't buy soda. Do need a soda, hadn't had a soda for a while. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation." The word conversation there means lifestyle. The conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth unto his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Romans chapter 8 here, if you can turn there real fast. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, and read one more, two more verses here. Romans 8, 28. And the Bible says here, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that were called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these next couple, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes we have together, Lord. Help us to get some things out of your word, Lord, and help us to be better Christians and be greater lovers of you because we've been here. We pray, Father, that your spirit speaks to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, in Romans, here we had just read in verse 29 that God's will for our lives is that we be conformed to the image of God. God wants us to grow and to be like him. Amen. See, the Christian life is a journey. The Christian life is not just once you get saved and everything's okay. There's three stages to the Christian life. The first stage to the Christian life is when we get saved, we're justified. The Bible says we're justified. It's just as we've never sinned. We're justified by faith. And when we get saved, that justification there is the starting point of our Christian life. It's just the beginning. Amen. Just because we're saved doesn't mean the old nature is not there anymore. It's still there. Amen. Our sinful habits are still there. Amen. Our old desires are still there. All of a sudden, the light doesn't just switch and say, "Oh man, my habits are gone." No, the habits, our sinful habits, our sinful nature is still there. But we're justified. We're clean through the word of God. We're clean and we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're justified. And then from the next step in our Christian life is sanctification. Sanctification is a process where we become more like Christ. This is our journey from now until heaven. By the way, day by day, little by little, every day, and little by little, in every way, my Jesus is changing me. This is our journey through life. My Jesus, I love thee. And that is our goal, and we want our life to reflect like Christ more day by day. We should be better Christians today than we were yesterday. We ought to be a better Christian today than we were last week and last month. We need to be growing. Our Christian life, all of us right now, we're saved. We're going through this life right now of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. Church, I want to encourage you, be more like him. Amen. The young lady sang just a minute ago, Miss Flores, being more like Christ. We want to know Christ more. And then lastly, our last step is glorification. You say, when do I get there? When you're dead. We become like Christ in our pure, in our holy, in our perfected bodies, if you will. But getting saved, God did all that work. All we have to do is accept Christ as our Savior.
Right
here is the hard part. Right here is our what we're doing right now in our lives will count for eternity. We're not saved because we do good works. We're saved so we can do good works.
Amen.
I'm not saved because I do good works. I do good works because I'm saved. And that's where we're at right now. And Christians, let me say this. How is your life right here in this sanctification part? Where are you as compared to the world? Are we just like the world? And by the way, due to our fleshly nature, the only way it's possible to become more like Christ is through the working of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in our lives.
That's right.
And by the way, the Holy Spirit is willing to work. But are we as Christians allowing Him? Sometimes as Christians, we want to be the driver of our own car. And God says, hey, let me be the driver. I'll take you to that destination. I'll avoid all the pitfalls. I'll avoid all the detours, if you will. I'll take the right detours. You just sit down and let me take control of your life. Christ is the one to change us if we allow Him. In other words, God wants each and every Christian to live a godly life. He wants us to be changed into His glory. And if we are to do that as a Christian, number one here, we must walk a different walk.
Right.
For us to be a difference maker, for us, church, to reach the world, we've got to walk a different walk. God intends for every believer to be radically different than the behavior of the unbeliever.
Yeah.
By the way, Paul describes the unsaved world as a darkened condition. Verse 17, the Bible says, then I say therefore, and testify back to the book of Ephesians, in verse 17, and this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. The world's darkened. You look at their philosophies. It's vain. You look at culture now. Good is not good anymore. Good is bad and bad is good. There's one time where we understood the word of God and there's only two genders and we understand that marriage is between a man and a woman. Those were given. You weren't weird if you believed that. But now if you believe that, you're a hate monger. And you're weird. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. It doesn't matter what the world says. The Word of God is the final authority.
Amen.
The world has vain philosophies, and they're empty. And they're darkened. Their understanding is darkened. In 2 Chronicles 4, in chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded them and blinded their mind, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who being in the image of God, should shine through them. The Bible says they have blinders on. They can't see. By the way, some men believe after death you turn to different things and you could turn to whatever you want. You could believe whatever you want. It doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is truth. Because once they die, the Bible says, then the judgment. And their heart is blinded. Not only their heart's blinded, but the world is blind. The world has a depraved nature. It's a sinful nature. We're fallen. And the Bible says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves unto lasciviousness. The world is wicked.
Yes, sir.
And acceptance and tolerance is big. And by the way, I'm not saying this is America. You can go live how you want to live. But don't tell me that lifestyle is normal.
Yeah.
You can go what you want to go, do what you want to do. And we have Christians now and saying, you know, once upon a time, drinking was bad. We have Christians now, just a little wine for the stomach's sake. We're blinded by the world and their nature. And by the way, once upon a time, tattoos were frowned upon. And if you have a tattoo, you're saved today. God bless you. That's in the past. Don't get another one. American Demographic Magazine has reported that the sixth fastest growing industry in America in 2018, from 2018 to now, is the tattoo industry. One survey says juniors and seniors indicated that 10% of them had received a tattoo. 37% of them did so with their friends just to announce their independence. I mean, I remember that man, what's his name? I forget his name now. Played for the 76ers. ESPN, the magazine, had to, Allen Iverson, had to Photoshop and airbrush all his tattoos off because of the push to the corporate world, because the corporate world don't like that. Look how our culture and our world has changed. Number two, we must be different to make a difference.
Yes, sir.
We must be different to make a difference. By the way, we've got to put on the old man, put off the old man, the Bible says. The old conversation, the old lifestyle. If we want to be different or make a difference, we have to live different.
Yes, sir.
We can't live the same. By the way, Brother Pichardo said this the other day, I believe it was him. Why would the unsaved want something that you have that's not different from what they have?
Yeah.
If you're doing the same thing they're doing, you're going to the same party, why would they want that? There's got to be a difference. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. We sing it at camp and we sing it at the teen group. The things I used to wear, I don't wear them anymore. The things I used to listen to, I don't listen anymore. The places I used to go and the things I used to watch and all these things. We must be different to make a difference. Colossians 3:9, the Bible says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And it says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that's created him. We need to get the old life out.
Yes, sir.
We want to make a difference. The old life got to go. Pastor Hiles, Jack Hiles used to have a sermon. It's called Burn Your Plow. I don't know if some of you remember that sermon. He was talking about burn the old life. Don't go back to it. I remember I heard that sermon when I was a teenager. My wife has never heard this, so I might get in trouble. It was a girl that used to like me. I didn't like her because, you know, I was on courtship. And I didn't believe in that. I just believed in just being single until God brings somebody, right? Her friend gave me her phone number. He says, hey, she would like you to call her. I said, I go to the Baptist church now. I don't do that stuff. Here, keep it. Took it, put it up, put it in. My, you know, where the IDs and stuff go in the wallet, behind there, just for a rainy day. I didn't think. I was a junior, I think, in high school it was. Put it on there. And and we had something called For Him Club. Breton, do you remember that? And I listened to that sermon, burn your plow! Took that out, said, let me see if I can memorize that number real fast. We didn't have cell phones or anything like that. Took that out. I said, I didn't look that phone number. Put it in there. You know, took that out, shredded up, threw it away. Need to get rid of it.
Right.
By the way, don't save your music for a rainy day.
Yeah.
Ladies, the stuff you used to wear, don't save it for a rainy day. Get rid of it. Your old friends, those numbers, get rid of it. You got to put that off. By the way, let me say this. If you are an alcoholic, don't go witness to people in the bars.
Come on.
You say, I love them, and I want them to get saved. Send somebody else.
Yep.
There's a guy, Brother Bobby, he called me. He said, hey, Brother Nate, I'm going to go to this party and witness to some of my friends. I say, hey, buddy, bad idea. Bad idea. I said, well, if you want to go witness to them, why don't you take a couple of the men in our church and go with you and witness to them? They just invited me to. I said, don't do it. I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I'm not going to do anything wrong. He went to that party. Next week, didn't come to church. Went by to see him. How's it going, man? Man, I messed up. I started witnessing to them, and they just asked me if they'll listen if I just drink a little bit. And by the way, that's what the devil does. We're not strong enough to stay away from that. Pastor Myers, pastor, preached a message in camp one year, and I have it written down, the quote that he made. He says, strength is knowing your weaknesses and getting help. Strength is knowing your weaknesses and getting help. We've got to take out the old man, the old desires. The Bible says in verse 22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. The old desires are corrupt according to deceitfulness of lust. The old man will only produce corruption in your life. The old man will take you where you don't want to go. By the way, God has saved you from that. Why go back to it? We lived a miserable life. Why go back to it? Boy, I've been here for a long time. Since I've been to our church since 91. And every time my daughters and my kids, every time we go into the Cambodian community, they always tell me, Dad, somebody always comes up to you, or you always know somebody when we go eat and stuff. I said, well, I've been here for a long time. Sure enough, I was at a restaurant eating. I didn't see him. All of a sudden, a guy comes tap me. He say, hey, brother Nate, how you doing? I said, hey, man, how's it going? How's it going? He said, you want to know the truth? I said, I guess. He said, not too good. Not too good. I said, what's going on, man? He said, this life is hard. And by the way, sin is hard. When I talked to that young, man, he's a little bit younger than me, about 2 years younger than me. I said, man, whenever you're ready, come back to the Lord. We're always here. We're always here. But that person didn't want to put off the old man. By the as a Christian, it's not just putting off. We also need to put on. It's called the law of replacement. You know, I was doing keto for a while, and I quit. My wife asked me to do it again. I said, okay, whatever, I'll do it. And I guess I hate life now. But when I do, I do that. And it cost me a lot of money because I like to eat junk. I like to drink soda. I like potato chips. I like all that stuff. I like sugar. I like rice. I'm Asian. Yeah, you eat everything with rice, potato chips with rice. I mean, it's just, you eat rice. I don't like the brown rice stuff. I like rice. So don't eat rice or anything like that. But we have to substitute the chips for, here it is, seaweed. Fried kale. My corn puffs, I have to substitute it with moon cheese. So what's moon cheese? It's, you eat it, it's good, and then the aftertaste leaves your mouth all nasty. And a little bit of nuts here and there. You know what my snack is? Peanut butter. And I like peanut butter. You can't have too much. It's, you know, okay, that's it. But I have to replace those habits with good things in my life. I have to replace it. I'm Asian. I love noodles. We went to Whole Foods and got these zero-carb noodles. They're decent. Some kind of Japanese plant, zero carbs. Put it in there. It's not like the rice noodles, but it's something. It's something where I can enjoy it and in my mind fake myself, this is good. I'm kidding. I really do enjoy it. They're all right. Brother Chim and I went to eat the other day, and, you know, I said, I'm on this keto again. And he's eating his chicken pho, and I'm just eating chicken and broth. I put the noodles right there. I gave it to him. I said, it's all yours. I'll just use bean sprouts and just look at you eat. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I had a good time. But I had to replace the food. I can't just go cold turkey, because when I'm in my office and I want to, usually I take some hot chips out. The hot chips don't come out anymore. Guess what comes out? Seaweed. And you say, why do you do that? I needed some kind of replacement. Because the candy machine is right there. And I have money in my pocket, usually a couple dollars or so. And when I walk by there, the candy machine calls me. The Cheeto man called him, Chester. Red Chester calls me. And the kids eat it. I'm thinking, can I just smell that and lick it? Let me just lick it. I won't swallow it. I just lick it. No, there's something called replacement. And the old music you used to listen to, don't just give that up and just get rid of it. Replace it with good godly music. The old friends that you have, yeah, you need to give those up, but make some new friends. And the old clothes that you used to wear, don't just give that up. Buy some new stuff. Buy some new, or not buy new habits, but create new habits. You've got to replace it. There's going to be a void, an emptiness there. You've got to replace those things. Not only do you take off, the Bible says, for us to put on. The Bible says here in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. First put on off the old life, now put on the new man. By the way, the new man needs to be put on. It needs to be on purpose. And sometimes you're not going to like it. I hate seaweed. I don't mind eating it now. I'll eat a lot of them. It's okay. I've developed the appetite for it. You know, I used to hate mineral water. Do you know the water that, just mineral water? I don't have Dr. Pepper anymore. Mineral water. Brother Gary bought me a whole thing. Enjoyed it. Loved it. I had to replace my old habits with new ones. Christians, for you to be successful as a Christian, give up the old stuff, but replace it with some good godly things. Replace good godly entertainment. Replace good godly friends. Replace your old stuff with good godly things. It's the law of replacement. As Christians, we've got to do that. And lastly, we must love Christ if we will be different. Amen. Loving Christ is proactive. I don't say I love my wife, I do nothing about it. When you love somebody, thinking of a song here, this old life. When you love somebody, you don't just say that and do nothing about it. During Valentine's Day, I told my wife I loved her, and I did something about it. I took her out. We went to eat some sushi. It's pretty good. I used to not like it. I like it now. I bought her a gift. We went to the beach and held hands. It was good. You say, do you like holding hands? It was cold. I like to put my hands in my pocket. But love is not neutral. Love is proactive. For you to love God, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You must love Christ in order to be different. And love is not just a word. Oh, I love God, but I'm going to go do my stupid stuff. I love God, and I'm going to live the old lifestyle. No, if you love me, keep my commandments.
There you go. Amen.
The Bible says that loving God must come with keeping his commandments. A pastor from England who lived in World War II would often see businesses that had been ravaged by bombs. Often the owner of the business would clear away the rubbish and place a sign out front that said, business as usual. As Christians, when God saves us, our sign in our life would not be business as usual, just get rid of the junk and say business as usual. It should say under new management.
Yes, sir.
As a Christian, if we want to make a difference, we've got to be different. We've got to live different, and we've got to love Christ. Church, as we get into this building, we're going to be comfortable. We're going to walk on new tile, sit on new pew chairs, have a nice auditorium that's air-conditioned, and have just everybody inside, nobody outside over there. But let's not forget that we're here to reach the world, and we're here to make a difference. Let's do our best, church. Let's pray. How are we different? Are we living a separated life? When the world looks at us, do they see Jesus? For us to make a difference in this world, we've got